I think it's obvious that we like to celebrate. Thank you, and you can be seated. You know, Americans have a rich history of celebrating on holidays, and that includes patriotic holidays. When George Washington was sworn into office as our nation's first president, it happened in New York City, and the day ended at dark with a big fireworks display. And I think it's appropriate that on the July 4th holiday, and of course this is the Sunday leading up to it, that we celebrate. We have a lot to celebrate in America. I know we're all concerned about different issues, but the truth is we really are a blessed people and have much to be thankful for, many reasons to celebrate, and not the least of these is freedom. I mean, think about it. In spite of everything, America still stands for freedom. Freedom to worship or not to worship. Freedom to worship where you choose, when you choose, and how you choose. America stands for the freedom to work, or in some cases not to work, to succeed or to fail, to use our brains, our energies, our persistence to produce wealth and jobs and security, or to settle for lesser goals. America is a land of freedom, the freedom to exercise our power in the voting booth, to vote for candidates of our choice, to remind our officials that they are elected, to serve and to lead, not to rule and oppress. America is blessed with freedom, the freedom to shoulder responsibilities, to contribute to worthy causes, to be good neighbors and caring citizens. And all over the world today, there are people who long for the freedom we enjoy. The freedom that we often take for granted. And that freedom is something worth celebrating. Do you agree with that? Now, I admit there are things in this country I don't like. There are some things in this country I don't understand. Some things in this country that are just plain crazy and silly. For instance, I don't understand why only in America do you have a handicapped parking space in front of a skating rink. I mean, I don't get that. I don't get why only in America do drugstores make sick people walk to the back of the store to get their prescriptions and healthy people can buy cigarettes at the front. I don't get that. I don't understand why only in America people order double cheeseburgers, large fries, and a Diet Coke. And I'm guilty. I don't get that. I don't understand why only in America we leave our cars that are worth thousands of dollars in the driveway and put our junk in the garage. I don't get that, but we do. I don't understand why in America we use voicemail or answering machines to screen calls that we don't want to answer and then pay for call waiting so we won't miss a call from someone we don't want to talk to anyway. And I don't understand why this July 4 holiday we're going to buy hot dogs in packages of 10 and buns in packages of 8. I mean, there's just some things in America that don't make sense, right? I know we have serious problems. I know there are issues that burden us, that some of us are very burdened about. Many of us as believers are concerned about what we perceive to be the increasing hostility toward from certain parts of our society toward faith and people of faith and the Bible and the truth of God. And you see it in the media quite a bit. You know, one of the blockbuster trilogy of movies in recent years is Transformers. First one coming out in 2007, making over $700 million. The two sequels made even more money, with the last one topping $1 billion. One of the stars of that movie is Megan Fox, and she was being interviewed not long ago by a magazine in England. And they jokingly asked her what she would say to Megatron. Now, for those of you, how many of you saw any of the Transformers movies? All right, so you know who Megatron is. For the rest of you, he's the bad dude. He's the leader of the evil robots that are trying to wipe everything out, okay? He's the head of the bad dudes. And so this reporter jokingly asked Megan Fox, who's considered a sex symbol and a big young star in America, what she would say to Megatron to get him to not destroy all the world. Here's how she answered. Now, this is a question that's a joke, but she said something very serious. She said, I'd barter with him. And I'd say to him, instead of destroying the entire planet, can you just take out all the white trash, hillbilly, anti-gay, super Bible-beating people in middle America? Now, remember that the next time you think Megan Fox is something. Because she doesn't think you're much of anything. The problem is, you and I can get fixated on things like that. And we can be upset and worried all the time. But the truth is, in spite of the Megan Foxes of this world, this is still a nation that God has greatly blessed. We're still the freest people in the world. And I don't know another country that I'd rather live in than this one, do you? So in spite of everything, God continues to bless this country. He always has. George Washington, when he was sworn into office as our first president on April 30, 1789 in New York City, after taking the oath of office, did something that was not part of law, but has become a tradition that every president has done since he gave an inaugural address. They went into the Senate chambers and he spoke to both chambers of Congress. And in his speech, and you see a copy of the first page with his handwritten notes there on the screen, in his initial inaugural address, George Washington said this. He said it would be improper. Now listen to that. It would be improper to admit in this first official act, the first thing he did after being sworn in as president, it would be improper to omit in this first official act my fervent supplications, my prayers, to that almighty being who rules over the universe. And then he goes on to name those things in our nation that he believes we need God's help with. He said it would be wrong. It would be terrible. It would be improper for me as president in my first act not to ask, not to give supplication, not to petition God to help us. He continued in that speech by saying that no people can be bound to acknowledge and adore. No people can be bound to acknowledge and adore the invisible hand which conducts the affairs of men more than the people of the United States. He said there's not a people on this planet who should be more bound than us to acknowledge God and adore God because of his blessings on us. He continued by saying that every step by which they, referring to the American people, have advanced to the character of an independent state, an independent nation. Listen, every step by which we reach this place of independence as a people seems to have been distinguished by some token of providential agency. The leader of the Revolutionary War and our first president said as he looked at the history of this young nation, step by step, he saw the hand of God. And because of that, there's not a people on the planet that should be more bound to give adoration and thanksgiving and prayers to God than the American people. I say we are still a blessed people. I believe that. And so this morning, my purpose is not to bemoan the things that concern us. I want to lay those aside. My challenge to us this morning is this: for us to ask and answer a simple question. How can you and how can I, how can we bless America? rather than asking God to bless us, because He is blessing us, let's look in a mirror for a few moments and not point our fingers at Hollywood or New York City or whomever, but look in a mirror and look at ourselves and ask ourselves a basic question. What can I do? What can you do? What can we do as a people of faith to bless America? And there are two passages I want us to refer to very briefly, and then I'm just going to highlight some things that I hope you'll think about in the hours to come. One passage is in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Would you stand with me in honor of God's holy word as we read this, please? And by the way, do you know when George Washington took the oath of office for his first term, the Bible that he took the oath on when he finished taking the oath, George Washington leaned over and kissed it. Our first president. The Word of God says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, "First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." Now turn a few more pages to the book of Titus, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, then Titus. And look in chapter 3 at the first two verses. Titus chapter 3. Paul tells this young preacher to remind the congregation, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. Thank you, and you can be seated. Now let me just real quickly share with us some suggestions from these two passages in the Bible about ways you and I can be a blessing to America. And maybe in doing that, we can be salt. We can be light. We can change our place in this world a little bit. Rather than always worrying and always complaining and always blaming, let's ask, what can I do? What can I do to make a difference? And one is, be a good citizen. And he tells us in this passage a couple of things that are involved in being good citizens. One is praying for our leaders and our government. That's what he says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, when he urged that prayers and entreaties and petitions and thanksgiving be made for all men. But notice he added, for kings and all who are in authority. That's our government. That's our elected leaders on the local level, state level, national level, to pray for them. Not just when we're mad at them, but at all times. To pray for wisdom, to pray for humility. And yes, when they're making bad choices and immoral choices, to pray for them then as well. But to pray for them. And I'm afraid that we as the people of God complain more than we pray. Praying for people changes people. Praying for the nation can change the nation. No revival ever started without prayer. Change will never come to America without prayer. That day in April when George Washington was sworn into office as president, the day began at 9 o'clock in the morning to nearby St. Paul's Chapel for a service of prayer and worship. God says, if you want to be a good citizen and bless America, pray for your country and pray for your leaders. Be a good citizen by showing respect for our leaders, even those we disagree with. We've lost in America the capacity to show respect for others. In Titus chapter 3, verse 1, he said, remind them to be subject to rulers and to authorities and to be obedient. A police officer had written a parking ticket to a woman one day, and he gave it to her. And she wasn't very happy. She thought it was silly that he was giving her a parking ticket. And she said to him, well, just what do you do when you catch real criminals? And the police officer responded, "I don't know. All I ever catch are innocent ones." Our attitude and the small things can reveal our attitude toward the big things. See, being a good citizen does not mean we do our duty and obey our laws only when we agree with it. Now let that sink in a minute. And I know some of you are saying, "Steve, look in the mirror the next time you're driving and breaking the speed limit." But think about it. Being a good citizen, praying for our country, showing respect for our leaders who are trying to do their job. But secondly, we can bless America not only by being good citizens, we can bless this country by being good people. By being good people. In chapter 3 of Titus, verse 1, he continues by saying, "Be ready for every good deed. Volunteer. Serve. Do things that are good for others. Get involved in the community. Get involved in the church. Make a difference. Do something. Do something. Do something. Do good things." We had several women and a couple of guys who earlier this week fed the troops, the guard unit that's getting ready to ship out to Afghanistan on July 10. Doing a good deed. Doing an act of service, getting involved in some way as a believer, and not being ashamed of being a believer and letting people know that you're a believer as you do good in this world. Letting them know that Jesus is the reason you do what you do, that His love and His righteousness is what motivates you. Do good. Get involved. Being good people means being considerate of others. In Titus 3, verse 2, he said that we're not to malign people, that instead we're to be peaceable and gentle, showing every consideration for all men. So be considerate of others. In a recent survey, 70% of Americans said people are more rude today than they were 20 or 30 years ago. Now, I'm not sure how true that is, because as you get older, everything in the past seems better than today, right? But I think there may be a nugget of truth in that. That people are just more demanding today. Do you know if you talk to a lot of people who've worked in the restaurant business, they'll tell you that the grouchiest people that ever come into those restaurants are Christians who come in on Sundays? The most demanding and biggest tightwads when it comes to tips are church people on Sunday afternoon and a lot of places. What kind of witness for Jesus do you think that is? You go out to eat on Sunday and you're dressed up, they know you've been to church. Give a big tip. Don't be a tightwad and give Jesus a bad name. I'm not joking. Be considerate. You ever listen to how we talk about people? You ever listen to how quick we jump to conclusions about people? I mean, we think we've got all the information, and we don't have all the information, but we've got enough to be judge, jury, and executioner. I mean, we're so conditioned by the fast food and fast this and fast that world we live in. If it takes 30 seconds longer than it should, man, you'd think our life's coming to an end, right? Be considerate. Hold the door for somebody. Say thank you, even if they give you a weird look because they've never heard it before. Be considerate. Be peaceable. Don't make enemies. Be nice. Bless somebody. People work hard and they need some encouragement. Heard about this guy who ran a moderately priced motel. You get the image? And he got so tired of people coming into that establishment, moderately priced and moderately conditioned, expecting five-star service and yelling and complaining and screaming all the time. And so one day he decided that on the wall behind him he was going to put up this huge mirror. And so he lined that entire wall with the mirror. When he did, he noticed something. The screaming and the rudeness diminished drastically. You know why? Because when people were wailing, slinging their arms and screaming, they could see themselves and see what they looked like. And when they saw what they looked like, they didn't like it, so they calmed down a little bit. Sometimes we don't realize what we look like, what we sound like, what we act like, what our attitude's like. Listen, we can bless America by setting an example of what it means to be nice. To not be a jerk. We can bless America. Our little part of it, we can bless just by being good people. And then lastly, I think we can bless America by being good Christians. Now, I have to say, being a good Christian means I'm going to be a good citizen and pray for my country and my leaders. Being a good Christian means I'm going to be a good citizen by respecting people. I'm being a good Christian means I'm going to be a good person. I'm going to do good things and serve, and I'm going to be considerate and nice. And by the way, do you know that being a good Christian means you get up on that Tuesday and you go vote? You have no right to complain about anything if you don't vote. Shut up. Now, maybe I should have said that a little nicer, but you get the point. Vote. This November, when we have the election, vote. You're an American citizen. You're a Christian. Go vote your Christian values. Go vote. All right. Enough on that. Back to the text. Being a good Christian means living righteously, living a godly life. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, after saying pray for our leaders, he said, do that so that we may lead a tranquil or a peaceful, calm life, a quiet life, in all godliness and dignity. That God wants us as believers to live with dignity, to not act like everybody in the world acts. You don't have to dress like everybody in the world dresses. You don't have to talk like everybody in the world talks. You don't have to live like everybody in the world lives. Live with dignity as a believer in Jesus Christ. And live with godliness, with righteousness, with Christ-likeness. We don't get our value system from the world. We get our value system from thus saith the Lord. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Are you? Are you? Are you? Then where do you get your value system? Where do you get your standard of right and wrong, of priorities, of what's important in life, for direction and purpose? Where do you get it? You get it from the world, or do you get it from the Word of God? You're a believer. You're a follower of Jesus Christ. Live righteously. Live godly. Get your values and sense of who you are from the Word of God, not from this world. Because this world doesn't know God. Jesus said this world didn't know him and it won't know you. And so you can't get your sense of dignity and values and godliness from the world. If you do, you're probably more often than not going to be outside of God's expectations. You can bless this country by being godly. Do you know that God blesses righteousness? What would happen to America if all the righteous people suddenly vanished? Think about that a minute. What would happen to this state? What would happen to Rock Hill, South Carolina? What would happen to this country if all the righteous people suddenly vanished? You can bless this nation by living a righteous life. And you can bless America by sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with those who are lost. Because he continues in Timothy by saying, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Do you know that God wants Megan Fox to be saved? And I shared with you something she said about people like us, and if you were like me, the first time you heard that, you went, ooh, or something worse. But what about praying for Megan Fox? What about praying for your neighbor who doesn't go to church? What about praying for that coworker that just rubs you the wrong way? What about sharing the love of Jesus with somebody who doesn't know his love. That's what God wants. Those of you who know my story know I did not grow up attending church. In fact, no one in my family did. We weren't a Christian home in any sense of the word. And I remember when I was in middle school, two men visiting our house, sitting in the living room and talking to us about a new mission, a new church that was being started a couple of miles up the road, inviting us to come. We never did. They came more than once. I remember when a bus ministry was started, and that bus on Sunday mornings would run by our house. And I remember those people coming to our house and telling us about that bus and inviting us as teenagers to ride that bus to church. At first, we did not. But eventually, we did. And our lives were changed because of what we learned about Jesus. Before that, none of us went to church. This last week, I got in the mail the newsletter from my home church in Kentucky. And on the front was this big picture of their vacation Bible school. And in that picture, I could locate my sister's two adult daughters and their husbands. And from a family where no one knew Jesus and no one went to church, we've evolved into a family of generations that know Jesus and go to church. That's how you bless America. Right? I think that deserves applause. So the question is, who are you going to share the love of Jesus Christ with? Who are you going to share the gospel with? You know, we change this world one person at a time. Who's that one person that in the days to come, God wants to use you to change their lives? Because when you change their life, you not only change that person's life, you may just change their family traditions. And when you begin changing family traditions, you begin changing a community. You begin changing a nation. You begin changing the world. Because you never know when one of those that's changed will grow up to be a George Washington or a Billy Graham or any other great man of God or person in history that you can name. Because God uses people to change this world. So I'd like for us to focus as a people of faith, not so much on all the problems, as on being the people of God so that we become part of the solution. So that we become a people that God uses to bless this nation. Does that sound all right with you? Does that sound all right? So, look in that mirror. Look in that mirror. Okay? What's God saying to you? I mean, he may have said several things, but what is that one thing in particular that God is saying to you that you can do, that he's leading you to do to bless this country we live in, to bless this community we call home? What is that one thing God's leading you to do to bless America? Stand with me for prayer. Father, you are speaking to hearts all over this room. And as we sing this song, I pray that we would forget about all that's going on around us and that we'd listen only to the still, sweet voice of heaven speaking to our hearts. And right now, Lord Jesus, during this sacred moment, this holy moment, I pray that every man and woman, every teenager, every boy and girl that needs to leave where they're standing and come to this front, come to this altar and get on their face, on their knees before you and pray about something. I pray, God, they would do it. I pray that every person in this room who needs to give their heart and life to Jesus and be saved would come to me and other pastors here at the front and say, today, I want to be saved. Those who need to join this church, God, draw them right now. Father, may this altar be filled, and may our hearts be humble. May our wills be submissive. May our minds listen to your voice. May all of us and each of us do what you are asking us to do right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.